The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all.
Hey, welcome back to the National Intel Report. This is Dr. Kelly, and I've got James, and he's given us a really incredible history that needs to be documented on the record and retrievable. So thank you for those of you who support RBN. And we were talking about the painter Charlie Marion Russell, and those paintings are so sweet, just like Marion Barry. They got the word Marion in there. And I was asking James, where can people view these paintings? Because one of the things I learned from my mentor is that viewing that beautiful, incredible artwork that we have usually easy access to, well, you can couple this with a visit to maybe your state legislature and do the dual thing. I used to visit as much as I could a museum with art, specifically, you know, the old the Gettys down on the coast in Southern California, and it really raises your level of awareness about yourself and your surroundings, and it's a really wise use of your time. And you know, those of you, take your aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, posterity, and you have to go by yourself, why, enjoy it anyway. And I've got James on the line, currently hanging out in Vancouver, and it's a super exciting time to be alive, even more exciting than when Ronald Reagan used to say it. And we're talking about... want to check this out, The Missouri Breaks, and you want to check out a book, Wolf Willow, by Wallace Stegner, and you'll get the good parts and probably the others, and you'll get the whole story. And thank you, James, for being here, and back to you.
All right, well, thanks kindly, and if you want to see Charlie Russell's work, you simply can go to the Montana State Capitol at Helena, Montana, and it's hanging on the ceilings. Big portraits of the land when it was first being explored. Interestingly enough, of course, Lewis and Clark went through there, the Lewis and Clark expedition, which lasted, I guess, from 1803 to 1806. And the key issue in this Lewis and Clark expedition was to discover elevations, okay, and to see where they were going to put the 49th parallel. And now, in those days, of course, they didn't have cars or trucks, so the number one method of traveling, if you could, was by water. So, of course, they decided, yes, we'll put the border right on where the watershed for the continent lies, so that everybody north of the 49th parallel had to paddle their canoes north, and everybody south of the 49th, why, they could just simply sit in the canoe and let her go right down to the Mississippi. And this was one of the reasons for Lewis and Clark's expedition, was to check the elevations, because people use water, and water flows downhill, you see. And we mentioned, we were talking about the Keystone Pipeline months ago when it got shut down. And one thing I mentioned to one of the presenters on RBN was a damn good pipeline, because once the oil got to the 49th parallel, it was downhill all the way to Texas, you see. So the efficiency of the whole system was enhanced, because when you go from the 49th parallel south, you're going downhill.
Yeah, because one of the problems is when you have the government wanting to pump and push things uphill where they don't belong.
Yeah.
And so, well, yeah, and another really cool movie, a lot of it is filmed, I think, on the Fraser River, is a movie called The River. And I think that's another one of those classic beauties from the 50s with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And she takes a digger in the river. It's pretty cool. Go ahead.
Yep. And, of course, in there was also the Louisiana Purchase. That was part of what they were studying, was the land. They were going to buy it, or they had bought it. And so you had the United States starting up on the eastern side. Then you had Louisiana's property. And then next to Louisiana, then you had the Spanish territory, which included Texas. And, of course, Texas is a key state to the whole Union. I've always felt that. It is the absolutely most critical state because, well, this is where all the action is right now. And you can see that somebody has got to take better care of that border down there because... this is the whole Union is hanging in the balance, and what they're doing in D.C. Oh, yeah, you can see Charlie Russell's paintings in D.C. as well. In the Congress, they're there in D.C. At least last I heard they were there. So, but yeah, that's
right
Texas,
on. And
that
I actually
border,
was in
way.
Helena as a kid. Had some relatives that moved up to the great expanse of Montana. And I wonder if some of the scenery from Shane might even be out there with that incredible mountain range to the north and just the beautiful country along that border. You know, I got to visit Vancouver in 2004, and of all people, with my nephew, who was a young teenager at the time, and it was definitely the most epic, beautiful adventure. Can't wait to visit again someday. And look, maybe it's going to be soon, huh?
Well, if common sense heads would prevail up here and down there, who are supposedly running the place, then you know, that should be the case. By the way, the setting for Shane is in the High Plains near Jackson, Wyoming. So many shots feature the Grand Teton Mastiff looming in the near distance. So they shot it in Wyoming.
Yeah,
and,
I just love all that stuff. You know, hey, Buckaroosh, it's your old pal Gabby Hayes.
Yeah, and on a personal note, I got lost in Wyoming. I was intending to go to Custer, South Dakota in my airplane, and I ended up going right into Wyoming, and I could see it was Wyoming because I'd been there before, and I had to turn the damn airplane around so I didn't get lost. The sun was going down, see. So, but anyway,
it's a big country there. When I headed east for a sabbatical in '98, there was a section of road, and it's like the last gas for 400 and something miles through Utah. And I'm serious. the Buick even ran out, and I ended up hitching a ride from a couple of guys that worked in the nuclear decontamination plant. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I was like, "Do you need my license for, you know, my ID for the gas can?" This cowboy with a great cowboy hat on over there in Utah, he looks at the license and he goes, "San Francisco? What are you doing out here?"
Right.
I'm like, "Getting away from the city, sir." Yeah, go ahead.
It's all very interesting. I'm checking out apparently Shane was based on a true story. So that's something we have to dig up later, that it was based on a true story, so it wasn't just made up.
It was pretty cool. I think they might have embellished a little bit on the Jesse James women episode that I saw, which was, you know, mm-hmm. ended up with the two chicks and the gunfight thing, and it's
there's another one. I don't know if I ever mentioned you. Did I ever mention the name Texas John Slaughter?
Oh, I think that might was for the list.
That's a new one, maybe. Okay, so Texas John Slaughter was a true ranger, and I believe his territory was New Mexico and Texas in that area. I'd have to check that, but Walt Disney, when I was growing up as a child, that was a big feature that Walt Disney had on television, was Texas John Slaughter. And there weren't that many episodes of it, but the ones that I saw were really, really, really a big influence on my Western career was Texas John Slaughter. So that's something you can check out for the future.
Right on. I totally appreciate it. Yeah, because it's such a rich history, and the whole the movie culture in that day, and, you know, the way that they really painstakingly got the details as correct as could be. And
right.
I just really appreciate that reintroduction. Thank you.
And the issue there, it goes back to a simple story, good versus evil. Right? Things were either good or evil, and now with the political situation we have, let's go back to the leaders up here. There's only one provincial premier that's come out to support the truckers, and that's the premier of Saskatchewan. I believe his name is Scott Moe, M-O-E. And I don't see anything else from any other provincial premiers. The leadership up here, it's like these politicians are looking for a father figure, or maybe they're looking for a mother figure. I don't know. But,
really distinctively. And if you could get a hold of that letter, I think it's just a couple of pages. You know, I'd love to read it either on my other show or, you know, cover that and get that on the public record down here. And, we got to teach our brothers up there and sisters about the TLB talk and all the other good stuff we've got going on here.
Yeah. So let's get back to this prime minister up here when he says, well, it's not right that people should have inappropriate ideas or opinions, you see. It's not right that we should have inappropriate opinions or ideas, see? And then he's hanging out with all these European Bilderberg guys like Klaus Schwab, and obviously he is looking for a father, I would say. He needs leadership, and he didn't get that as a child, you see. I think this is a very... you know, years ago, I think there were more leaders that would say, no, I'm not going to do that, or stand up or make a stand, you see. And that's why we're bringing up people like Shane, or bringing up the people in the Alamo, right? You know, right or wrong, they made a stand, see? And what happens is these people end up giving their lives and then everybody else gets the gravy, you see? And then now the question is, well, who's going to make the sacrifice, you see? Well, the truckers in Canada, a lot of them, decided it was now or never, so they did it. And, you see, it's a question of these Westerns are not for naught because there's a theme there, you see. Who's going to stand up for the people that can't stand up for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Who's going
to
defend the
truth? And it was cool because they all came together to protect the property. You know, the big old prairie wagon that you could fit a load of hay in. You know, all the women in there with their pistols and rifles and whatnot and what have you, as my grandpa used to say. And, you know, we really lost a good, founding father of RBN and working with the militias and so much behind the scenes work. You know, I'll bring up the 10,000 invisible mornings that nobody will ever know about, but that we've seen and, you know, that we hold dear. And thank you so much again for giving us our history lesson. It's great.
I don't think they teach history the same way that they used to. I'm not sure they teach history at all. And again, I was away from North America for 30 years, and I've come back to... I came back in 2014, and things are a little bit different. It's as though, people have are not aware of what's going on in the rest of the world, you see. And America, to me right now, and Canada as well, but, you know, they're looking like a sitting duck, okay? And that's the thing that is on my mind, is we're sitting ducks unless we do something that's going to change the course of our history, and like that. So,
yeah, and I'm super glad to see it happening in my lifetime. And, you know, I started getting hurt and feeling hurt and bummed when my grandparents started passing off, you know, just my next generation.
Right.
And I thought, man, they got spared from a lot of things. And, you know, I'm hoping that they can pull back the veil and take a peek in here and see how things are going every once in a while. And I'm grateful that certain of us did have a generation or maybe even just one relative. It might have been an auntie or an uncle or a grandpa or somebody that their desk was a shotgun shell reloading station. You know, that was super common. People used to pour their own goodies in their own barn and on their own farm and on their own property. And it's just beautiful when you come together to protect your privacy and your property. And these are God-given rights. And those people that messed with it, they get to deal with what they've done.
Well, a reckoning is going to come, one way or the other. There's no two ways about it, because I was just talking to a presenter earlier, and all of this New World Order and so on and so forth, this is based on deception, you see. Their whole movement, their whole Bilderberg or whatever, in 2020, they said, well, we'll just stop everything for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I'm saying to myself, come on, guys. You know, you can do better than that. That's an outright lie, right? And okay. Now you don't have to wear the mask, but now you have to wear the mask. Oh well, you had your shot. Well, then take off your mask. Well, no, you got to put it back on. And you got to have a second shot.
Yeah, and you know what was weird? is a box full of those masks showed up on my porch, and I'm like, don't touch them. Let me get some gloves and get rid of them.
Right.
All right, cool. We're coming up on
get
a break
time.
Here. This is the National Intel Report with Dr. Kelly and James. We'll see you on the other side of this break. Go now and support RBN, and thank you.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Report. Your host, Dr. Kelly and James, and that's a pretty cool, yeah, anything with airplanes, jets, motorcycles, it's pretty cool. I heard a bunch of rockets going overhead today. you know, not just your standard commercial passenger jet, but like some serious rocket-type jet engines, and I probably live directly across from one of those little Top Gun installations over in the Fallon part of Nevada. And we got James here from Vancouver giving us just some really epic history. And this is Dr. Kelly. And go ahead and take it away, James. We covered a lot of territory. And, you know, like he was saying, they did this on horseback, by waterway, by train, you know, before the train, BT. And it's really incredible, the real men. You know, when you see a picture of these miners and when you see pictures of, you know, serious men at their work. It's a beautiful thing. Take it away, James.
Well, those jets you heard were probably flying down to Area 51 there. one I'd like to take a ride in is the Blackbird, the SR-71. That would be one I'd like to, if I had my, if they wanted to give me a ride in that, you see. I was going to say the Louisiana part of the United States, actually the French didn't stop there at the 49th parallel. There were French all across Western Canada in the fur trade. There was a competition between the Hudson's Bay Company and the Northwest Company. And so all on that 49th parallel, extending all from Manitoba, actually Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, there were French explorers in there, and they were trapping furs as well. So many of the little towns north of the 49th parallel there have French names, as they do in the States, like names like Illinois, for example. And there is a river on the 49th parallel called the Souris River, which actually travels along the 49th. It doesn't go very far, but it doesn't run north, and it doesn't run south. So, again, you're right. They needed water to move their furs, and definitely that was preferable. Nobody had trucks, of course. And again, the Lewis and Clark expedition, that was 1803. United States... they just fought the revolution, and I think it was done around 1783, 1784. So there was a breathing space there. And around 1800, of course, Washington Washington, D.C., the government was setting up to consider expansion, the Great Westward Expansion, which, of course, is my... theory of why Americans are so hospitable, because in that westward expansion, of course, they had to help each other, which was true of the expansion that my grandparents were involved with, which was north and west into the lower portion of Canada. So we have these various things that happened, and now we have another thing happening. So I was young around 1960, and now it's 60 years from 1960, 62 years, of course. And who knew in 1960 that in 2022 we would be going through this ridiculous transition and having to take vaccines for things that we're not even sure exist, and that the vaccines are toxic, obviously, and that we have people going all around and wearing masks for nothing. And, the common sense factor, my point is the common sense factor, has gone downhill, right?
Yeah, thank you. Especially, like, if your mind is weak, why would you want to stick a Schwab up there and potentially some serious damage? You know, it's really pathetic. The as my dad said, get off your constantly expanding derriere. He didn't say that to me, I made sure that he didn't say that to me. And so, got to speak up and get up and do something about it, even if you get in trouble. Just do it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here we are coming up on the bottom of the hour break. This is a super special edition of the National Intel Report with Dr. Kelly and James from Vancouver. Go ahead and support RBN, and we'll see you in a bit.
Can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once per year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear we're on our way down. East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do. And you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. See, here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Well, you walk into a restaurant strung out from the road, and you feel the eyes upon you as you're shaking off the cold. You pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Most times you can't hear them talk, other times you can. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? And you always seem outnumbered, you don't dare make a stand.
Hey, welcome back to the National Intel Report. This is the first day of February 2022. With your host, Dr. Kelly, and James from Vancouver, riding shotgun with that Stagecoach model. And it was so cool to see the progression of the Stagecoach to the practically, like, you know, the tiny house to the truck. And man, this timber frame construction's been around since the Old Testament. And speaking of Old Testament, we can get rid of the CDC, the NIH, and all the alphabets. Why? Because in Leviticus, they gave us classifications of leprosy and the cleansing thereof in the following chapters. Pretty swift, huh? Yeah. Okay. And come on back up, James. And I just wanted to drop that Bob Seger in there. And I don't know if anybody's ever been east of Omaha. Let me peek at the map here. I think I took a left. Yeah, and I went up to Minnesota, and it was cool. It was BC before, you know, cameras and handy cell phones, and so I drove past the actual little house on the prairie, and cool places like Pipestone and, you know, other stuff you can only see in your car, and don't make it electric. Because you don't want to run out of gas out there. You don't want to see the tow truck drivers west of Omaha ever. Okay, James.
Yeah, I just got a great story to tell here. You mentioned the wood frame house. I was very lucky to be able to, in the January or February of 1963, stay in the house that my maternal grandfather was born in. All right? And my maternal grandfather from Nebraska was born in 1878. And the date on the outside of the house was 1870. And this was like a four-story Gothic-type house. And inside it was all black walnut, I think, and there was, I don't know how many bedrooms, and it was an immense place. And inside the house were still his six unmarried sisters. One had gotten married, but the rest were not married. And I met his oldest sister, who was a few years older than him. Her name was Elizabeth. And so I actually stayed where my grandfather was born. My American grandfather actually stayed in the house where he was born, and got the feel of the place. And this was on a trip. My parents were actually the smartest thing they ever did was take me out of school in the wintertime, and we would go south. The first winter we went south, we stayed at my great aunt's in Pasadena. Stayed there for a couple of months. In fact, at that time, we were thinking of emigrating to California. All right? So we did that, and then the second time we wintered in Arizona, and unfortunately we didn't get back to California, but we came through Nebraska, and I visited my relatives places like Ashland, of course. That's where my grandfather was born, and Lincoln. I have relatives there still, and yeah, we went through Omaha. So One of my deals is I want to get in touch with my relatives down in Nebraska, and um, yeah, that I've got to work on that. So this is something that that is very important in the future. So yes,
yeah, it's super cool. Like, they go to really great lengths to document up in Norway, and so Olaf and Matilda, you know, my relatives, there's one's from mm-hmm. Sweden, but don't hold that against me.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool, you know, to visit and be there, and you know, to have spent time with some of these folks even as a youngster. It's makes a great impression, and I think we might have somebody on the tree from out in the Missouri way. So yeah, I gotta check that out too.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do that.
And yeah,
all right, Shotgun.
And yeah, and when I was in Fargo years ago, they used to say that there was an airplane going to Norway once a week. I don't know if that's still true, but it may be. So that would be a way for you to get back there. Just get to Fargo, North Dakota, and hop on a plane.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Fargo, when I was on sabbatical, I got to take a trip over to the Dakotas briefly, and like sort of a camping trip, and I came across a museum, and that's where I was refreshed and reminded about Spelt, S-P-E-L-T-Z, at the time, and it was like an agriculture museum, and mm-hmm. it's pretty amazing and incredible, you know, how to feed your people on a rather large scale with the ancient things that are 9 or 10,000 right. years old. By now.
Right. And one of the crops that they were big on in that area was linseed, like linseed oil, right? And that's exactly how the Polymers and Coatings Department at North Dakota State University got started, was that linseed oil that was made from the linseed. That's another, goes back.
Oh, that's another cool topic. And then the flax, of course, is the linen, which is a great clothing, you know, and textile material.
Right. So I just did some notes a minute ago, and just to let you know what I was looking at, for example, I used to be big on investment banking. It was a very fascinating science to me, and if one wants to ask the question, why are we in the situation we're in? One of the very fundamental things to look at is because investment bankers are betting on a new rearrangement of the world, you see. They're betting that somebody else is going to win the money. They're lending money to people who they believe are more likely to succeed, you see. And the question then is, well, who are the big lenders? And so we have to look at who's running the show.
Who's got
a lot of the money.
Yeah, I can go back with a tiny bit of history in the San Francisco area. After the earthquake, there was Bank of America kind of got its start on the back of that disaster. And you know, it's not just the investment bankers. It's you know, there are other elements with that as well. And it's pretty interesting how my relatives lived in. Some of them lived in the St. Francis Hotel. Some of them were miners, and you know, they didn't have these creepy governmental agencies creeping in. There was no such thing as the IRS. There was no such thing as the Franchise Tax Board, and they enjoyed, you know, a really good level of lifestyle. You know, like room service.
And
they weren't plundered.
So then we. Well, no, and of course not. But it all goes back to that creepy thing that people talk about, the Federal Reserve, which. Up till lately, I didn't know a whole lot about, but this Federal Reserve seems to be a problem, like a big problem.
Oh, yeah. It's totally a worldwide problem. And at the same time, in 1933, just one tiny sentence in my whole, you know, three-ring binder of a training manual for grand jury, it says in there that England abolished its grand jury in 1933. So, yeah, some horrible wave went across the world, but other good things were happening too, you know, the scanning electron microscope and other really good things were going on, and we weren't focused on, you know, the keeping the criminals shackled.
Right, and 1933 was when Roosevelt came in, I believe, or somewhere along there. And my grandfather from Nebraska thought that the New Deal was a good deal, and now I'm hearing it wasn't such a good deal. So it shows that people didn't always know. Like, they were kept in the dark more back then, I believe, and this is another issue that
It was easier for them to keep the crap under wraps because it wasn't, you know, that you had the massive, you know, like you had the introduction of the telegraph and the telephone and the radio and all that other stuff. Right. But it was, you know, it was easier to cover things up, and you know, it's, hopefully it won't be that way anymore.
Right.
It's come up in
time. Right. It's interesting because if I want to buy gold up here, I have to put my social insurance number down so that if the gold appreciates, well, then I have to pay taxes on it, you see. So where's the hedge against inflation, right? This is a government control, over control.
Yeah, and they covered that. And there was a good Western called the Northwest Territory. And it involved, you know, it had a couple of Canadian mounted policemen on horseback and the whole deal. And they were, somebody from down south was poaching the resources of the people. And, when you have access to your God-given rights and your property and your claim and you're a man, you know, there's serious punishment for a claim jumper. There's serious punishment for a cattle thief and a horse thief. And, just let's go back to the California Rangers, please.
Right. You mentioned a minute ago about buying direct to your local ranchers, right? Buying direct, right? Well, up here in British Columbia, I cannot buy direct to a rancher for meat. I can't buy a steer from and say, you know, slaughter it for me. That's against the law.
And see what the Latter-day Saints and the sharecroppers and the farmers and ranchers do even down here is, you know, just they raise their own. They have, a mobile, you know, nowadays on that truck, you can get the mobile butcher and come to your place and do the deed, and then you don't have to involve anybody else. But like I said, you know, Nevada State went sideways on their farm fresh dairy, and that's a super critical part of, your daily, your diet's like 80% of your total health picture, and we didn't have to deal with any kind of this crap. So pass on the entertainment. You know, every once in a while, when you've done the work, reward yourself. Check out Shane.
Yeah.
It is a sweet, that's why it's my intro on the voicemail there. Back to James.
Right. And last time we talked a bit about DNA and what I'm working on right now, you may find interesting. It's called the plasma frequency for steel. And this is a particular interesting a notion in physics where, of course, you have, I mentioned the Pauli principle a couple of days ago, or at least on Saturday, right? And the Pauli principle involves the repulsion of spin half particles. And of course, particles, the free electrons in steel are spin half, so they repel, you see. And it's interesting that I did some calculations here a minute ago, and that the pressure that's exerted by these electrons in the steel calculate out to be 1,400,000 pounds per square inch. So the free electrons in steel exerts that much pressure to any force put on it. And so it's that pressure of that gas, it can be treated as a gas in the steel, that is able to hold up 110 stories of steel and concrete, you see. And comes the question, how can we sublimate the electrons? How can we get them all running in one direction and have the steel come apart from the solid state into the dust state, right? And the answer is you have simply apply voltage, an AC voltage, I think, at the frequency of the plasma frequency, which works out to be 10 to the 15 cycles per second, which is in the ultraviolet region. And at that point, the steel will come apart.
I described that Tesla Hutchison effect. You know, my other weakness for Canadian scientists is I described it as taking a block of a very, you know, definite known metal and as a block of cheddar cheese, just like as if I wrung it out, is the effect of that voltage and that field, and it's really amazing. Thanks for bringing that up, too.
Well, that's how you take apart steel at room temperature without melting it. Simply get those electrons to the right frequency and leave it there, and the whole thing is going to come down. So this is a key point. And the field can be applied through what's called the impressed current, the cathodic protection of the steel structure. You can put the field on with that circuit, right? Because cathodic protection simply means that on a daily basis, you're putting the electrons in that naturally run to the ground, you see. Well, you can just simply put the AC field right on those wires there, and you'll get all kinds of oscillations.
Yeah, you were talking about somebody doing this fun stuff on their little bench test area in their office or apartment, and then getting a knock on the door. I bet the pipes were hung.
That's applied science. But the technique was known by Tesla. Actually, a physicist by the name of Langmuir got the credit for the plasma frequency, but I know Tesla was aware of it, and of course, yeah, Hutchins knows about it too. So this is something I'm working on still. So there she is.
Cool. Yeah, I want to thank you so much again. We've got James from Vancouver covering the National Intel Report today. And I hope that John Stattmiller can pull back the veil and take a peek over. And thank you for that Founding Father's work and all of our Founding Fathers and Mothers and people that had the wisdom to work together and the knowledge to share that wisdom, and that they put forth their time, their treasures, and their talents. And we have so many great, witty inventions. And that is one of my favorite proverbs, to seek out the knowledge of witty inventions and to support those that are doing these witty inventions. You know, my grampy invented the nickel-plated fish hook, and someone commented, wow, he must have known a lot about metals, and I hadn't quite looked at it that way, but, you know, I'm grateful for people that do these things. So thank you.
Right. Well, America's great for inventions, and we got to bring that spirit back.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, thank you for those that are supporting RBN, whether it be by phone, by mail, or by your internet connection. And thank you again to James, pilot, jet pilot, author, and got a lot of great scientific experience. And if you'd like to go ahead and mention your book, and I hope people make that, avail themselves of it, and get some of that good blackoutcoffee.com going. Use your REPUB10 discount code, just like as in Republic, and I'll be getting some of that coming up here soon. And it's always good to get coffeed up before you study. It helps you, for sure.
Well, thanks for bringing me on, Kelly. Yeah, the name of the book is No Such Thing as Terminal, and if people want to have a look at it, well, thanks kindly, and thanks again for bringing me on. Thanks to RBN.
Thank you. Yeah, and I totally suggest this book for whether you're a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, just kidding. If you're a doctor, osteopath, chiropractor, it's definitely some information that you need. You can also make sure you get your CEU credits, and in case you want to renew your license and go on a mission trip. Maybe we'll go together one of these days and serve the people and serve the you know, traditional native people. I want to serve our servicemen and women and their families, and want to do it coast to coast. That's my dream. That's my wish. And I hope it's the will of the great physician to serve you people in such a manner. And thank you again for coming on, James. I really appreciate it. And what a great, you know, what a great historical day this has been in the world. And I just really appreciate that, talking the good story. Thank you again.
Over. You're very welcome. Next time we can talk about rifles and caliber and such like that.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. And like I said, you know, Grampy ran the trap range in, I guess it's the kind of San Bernardino County on the east side, and had a whole collection, and it was really a good thing for him to teach his youngsters, and that he probably learned, and he served in the Navy also. And here we are at the end. Thank you again for your time, James. Thank you so much, Mike. Yep. And thank you, everybody. Good. At RBN.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.